Down to brass tacks. We have a full board of persons who are not talking today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I got a few things I want to talk about, right? Why would I tell the first caller that you need to put aside the party politics thing? This is very difficult things that we are going through. There's a lot of things that I don't like what the government is doing, but under these circumstances, I am willing to put those things aside, right? These are very serious things that we're in, and they are not guaranteed, all clear or not all clear. And they think it's about time, because you don't support a party, talk on the things that can easily be discussed when this thing's over. Right now, any positive idea that you have that you can share with the government, share it. I don't like what you heard this morning. That's the truth. Now, I had numerous discussions. I don't know if you call it discussions, but I said numerous things about Bob Marley and his wanting to come to perform here and all of that. Marley has made his responses about the contract. Now, Marley went to a place in Africa near Gabon. When the threat was made, he had no knowledge that the ruler of the country was a dictator. He only knew that after he got there. A lot of the bar members, they fear for their safety, and they asked him what's going to happen. He said the tour would continue. Therefore, putting his life and his bar members at risk. We all know the messages that Bob Marley's music contained. It was about, it was against oppression. Anybody should know that a dictator oppresses people. Marley's life, he was about to give a free concert, and an assassination attempt was made on his life. Days before that concert took place, he went on and he gave the concert in bandages. This is a man who came publicly and said, and they quote, my life is for people. If my life is for me and my own security, then me don't want it. My life is for people. That's where I am. And he don't only said it, he demonstrated it by helping thousands of people in Jamaica, giving them money, giving people the opportunity to start businesses. The information is there. So this thing about the contract and all that, Mark and Bennett, I know who was the prime minister at the time. Marty wanted to come here. And I remember that Rastas were looked upon with scorn. I remember it well. I remember a certain Rasta in the government office was persecuted because he wore law. And he was told that if he didn't cut them off, he would no longer be employed. He did cut them off. So I'm not counting me that for this amount because you're a promoter and you've been doing this and doing that. I base my life on my common sense. And I want you to come on the radio today and prove me wrong. Nothing done down with me. So when you think, when you come and give me little praises and you see that you put it to rest, nothing done down with me. When I know I am right, I don't bow. Corey Lynn will tell you when I'm wrong. I come on this program. And they publicly apologize because that is the hallmark of a real man. Not just by having an ID card.
Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Gale, how are you this morning?
I am well, thank you.
I, yesterday, in conversation with Sanka Price on the program, I made a statement that I would like the National Insurance to give some comfort to those self-employed persons who made contributions because they're not entitled to unemployment benefits. So I was delighted last night when I heard that the Prime Minister agreed that at least for the next 2 months, April and May, they were going to get an allowance of $1,500. So I am very glad for the self-employed persons that they're going to get a little berry, as we say in the Barbadian parlance. My real concern is the long-term impact of the unemployment on the Barbadian economy. Because as it stands right now, and I speak specifically about the hotel industry, because that's where I spent 37 years of my life working. The challenge we've had with COVID-19 is that it is a worldwide phenomenon. I have had experience in dealing with the fallout from the 9/11. I've had experience in dealing with the fallout from the outbreak of the Gulf War. But I've never seen anything is as widespread as the coronavirus. And in the case of the 9/11, it affected the U.S. markets in a significant way. As a matter of fact, in the case of the outbreak of the Gulf War as well, it affected the U.S. market. So hotels and travel-related companies were still able to eke out a living because of the U.S. market and the European, because of the U.K. market and the European market, and to a lesser extent, the Canadian market. The situation as it is now with the COVID-19 is that all of our source markets are affected in a very big way. And the challenge facing hotels in the tourism market is that I do not see any major trust in terms of uptake in travel until the traveling public is confident that they can travel safely from one destination to another. The other thing is the unemployment rate in a lot of those countries where we gather visitors from is also high. So there are a lot of people who are currently unemployed and who may not be able to have the disposable income going forward to travel.
Which is why that word confidence that you just use is a big word, not big in size, but confidence speaks to having something to have, to travel with. To first of all, you have to have a job. Your family has to be cared for. The health, your health has to be intact.
You have to pay
all of those things. Exactly. That's where the confidence comes in the individual. As you mentioned quite rightly, the disposable income of that individual is also pretty key. So that confidence is one side of the confidence. But I'm going to let you continue.
I'm not going to go much further. So you know, the unemployment situation, it is not at the end. I don't think that anybody can foresee with any degree of satisfaction, mm-hmm. let me put it that way, where this pandemic will end.
Right. And I use the analogy, I don't know if quite rightly so, about the transparent water and pouring a little bit of liquid of purple in it. And this
is
why,
that.
And that's why we don't know how far that purple is going to go. And we don't know how deep it is going to go. And in that regard, we got to play a lot of wait and see games. And it is not that you are bad strategically, but that's the wisdom of the strategy because you don't know the future. So you have to put certain things in place. You have to make a few assumptions. I think one of the things that, and I didn't get to raise it with the previous caller, with Brittany Brathwaite, but the whole point of retooling the workforce at a time when they are not working is another strategy that the government can employ in tandem with the same private sector and some of the players within the union, etc. But let me hear your views on that one as well.
The thing is that we will definitely have to retool the workforce.
Yes.
I don't see... COVID-19 has been a blessing in disguise as far as I'm concerned. It is going to impact in a big way the way we eat, the way we work.
Everything.
And everything. Mm-hmm. And yes, we need to retool the workforce because mm-hmm. I do not see us going back to where we were prior to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. There's a big push now for online teaching, online business transactions, mm-hmm. and so we're going to need to have the technical people in terms of supporting the IT infrastructure.
That's right.
And stuff like that, because that is the way to go. I do not see people going back now in lines to pay bills. And I heard
you don't see it when I was driving here. I saw quite a bit of it though.
Well, you will still see that, and it's not going to go. It's not going to go anywhere overnight. But the mere fact that I can, in another couple of months, I can renew my driver's license online, as opposed mm-hmm. to having to go up in the plane and stand up all day in the sun, mm-hmm. do that. That is the new direction.
Yes.
And we're going to have to gear ourselves towards it. Not everybody is au fait with the technology, or not everybody is comfortable mm-hmm. with the technology, but that is the direction it is taking. And I agree with you that we do need to retool the workforce, and we have to think differently in a very fundamental way about how we are going to move forward.
Yes. A couple of years ago, I read an article about the jobs. Well, it was probably, 2018. The jobs of today are not going to be the jobs of tomorrow. And
that is so true.
And while I read it, I understood it. I couldn't properly appreciate it. But because of COVID-19, I'm now seeing the value in that which that article was speaking of. It was a very forward-thinking author who shared about the... And the types of jobs that they talked about, of course, were in high technology-driven spaces as well. So the more that we continue to social distance, the more that until we don't have a vaccine, and I don't even think it is limited around the having the vaccine, but it is staying, becoming accustomed to the new way of working and living is going to influence the behaviors and the jobs and every single thing that we have. Yes, COVID-19 has precipitated it. So while you say a blessing in disguise, I actually don't believe that blessings are disguised. I think they're very overt. We just can't see.
All right, well, thanks. That's my
But thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a WhatsApper here who wants to know just a little bit about the protocol around the beaches. Can they have morning walks? Can they go in the neighborhood alone with their family members? What is allowed there? You're on the air, sir.
Good morning, Miss.
You're
Gail.
On the air, ma'am. Good morning.
Miss Gail.
Yes.
Oh, God, I would have to go back and ask my mom what sex I am. Now, Miss Gail, put fun and joke aside, I have a very good friend. Her name is Bridget. She gave me permission to call her name.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget and her family work at a farm in St. Philip. Every day, 4 or 5 o'clock, they go and they check on their farm. Do you know someone went and steal $4,800 worth of irrigation? You know the one for the water, the irrigation holes?
Yes.
Do you know it's not right? How are they going to get that back? They're struggling to make ends meet. If it's not the monkey mm-hmm. destroying everything they got, it's someone go and steal their things.
Yeah.
This is not right. How is she going to get back that? How is she and her family going to get that back? I really sorry for
Bridget. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The tears, I could feel the tears for her.
Mm.
She works hard. She and her family, they work hard.
Mm-hmm.
4 or 5 o'clock, they're on the farm working.
Mm. And it's the irrigation equipment that was stolen.
Yes, ma'am. And plus the monkeys will go. She understand the monkey. But for someone to go and take up the O's,
mm-hmm.
She contact the minister and they're aware, and he tell her what to do. But still, yet he can't do anything at the moment.
Yeah.
This is getting out of hand, and it's somebody to steal. All that got to be somebody working in a farm. It's not an ordinary person, a backyard farmer. Mm-hmm. It's not. This is not right for Bridget and her family.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear for Bridget. I did hear that there's been this is just anecdotal information, but I have heard about an increased incidence of predator larceny in general, and I have also heard of an increased number of new persons cropping up selling produce.
Oh yes, and they come at your door and I tell them no, I don't buy from people I don't know. I've got 3 persons in the market that I buy from. Anyone else? Mm-mm. I don't know where you get your stuff from. And they come in with a van with tons of potatoes and yam and all these things selling. And I said, no way. I don't buy from you. I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the trouble is now, the next thing is, a friend of mine I know for 27 years, she's been working 18 months at a restaurant. 18 months she's been working there. They take out her NIS every week, and he let her go and never gave her the card. And when she went to the NIS office, there's nothing they can do. And she's got her receipt, her pay slip, showing that this man was drawing her money every week. And now she's not getting no money for 5 months or more. Mm. So, and they tell her there's nothing they can do. And she's got her proof.
That one has to be dealt with from the NAS and the employer side and not the employee, unfortunately.
No, but and she's the one who suffers. They're not doing anything.
Well, you don't know what they're doing, so you can't make a bold statement like that.
I know, because she keeps calling them.
Yes, but...
She keeps calling them and there's nothing been done. And it's 5 months now and this lady don't get no money. And she don't have any phone because she don't have a phone. Mm-hmm. She have a little cell phone. A little 50 phone that she put on a few dollars and by time to get to them, she don't even have bus fare to go to there. Mm-hmm. It is wrong. You cannot take people money out and do not pay the national insurance.
Those are two sets of wicked people who take money out from the employee and mm-hmm. then don't pay it in.
And they should go to prison.
And then I won't go so far.
Why? Because and then people, you went to prison abroad.
And then people who steal other people's working paraphernalia. Mm. So one is a thief, but both are thieves or people who misappropriate funds.
So what do you tell her to do now? What would you advise this
I
lady?
Hope that you gave her some advice already and you didn't come to me only for advice.
But there's no... I know about that. There's nothing they're doing. I'm telling you, there's nothing they're doing for this lady.
Well, you said two things. You said she doesn't have bus fare to get to the NAS, and I would encourage you, if you do have time, you say you drive around sometimes.
But I do not go. No, day. I can't take anybody at the moment, really, because of this lockdown, and I am...
No, I'm not recommending that you do. You're making a good point, especially in light of COVID.
I do not do it. I don't go out. Since the lockdown, I've been out twice. Twice I went to the supermarket and I see the crowd and I say, leave. I make do with what we've got.
Right. So she has been without money and unemployed for some time. There has been a project on by the government to reach at least 3,000 families.
Don't talk about that. It's very hard to get all of them. It's very hard because I know I phoned in 2 weeks ago. And all I get, they're going to call. And I keep getting
right, calling. But if you have raised a concern... Miss Winnie, if you have raised a concern with them as it relates to a family or two, just give it some time. Right now, we have an increased number of phone calls going to all of the numbers, whether it is a hotline or the line. Just give them some time. And hopefully, you would hear something positive. That's my advice to you to share with her. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks. You're on air.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, loud and clear. Yes.
Right. I have a real problem here in St. Joseph, Bragg's Hill, to be exact. Mm-hmm. I am lamenting and I am at war with the BWA. Mm-hmm. Right at this moment, I am trying to catch some water. Mm-hmm. My pipe has been off for 3 days. And, you know, it's the service that we are getting from BWA. The surrounding areas, all of them have water tanks. But here on Bragg's Hill, mm-hmm. I don't have a tank. We don't have a tank. I'm trying to get a tank, my personal tank.
So where are you catching the water from, you say?
Right now, I'm catching from my pipe. And let me tell you how it's running. It's mm-hmm. running, you know, a pinky finger. Half of that pinky finger. Mm. That is what it is running. I have 20 buckets, almost 20 buckets. Mm-hmm. And I have must about 100 of the other pet bottles and about 15 or so, you know, the washing liquid that you get from
the containers, yes.
Right. And this would probably take me about 3 hours to cash because it's a little bit of water mm-hmm. and so many containers.
So you have help. Someone's going to help you get them back to the home.
But that's what the point is, the service. Sometimes the pipe is on for 2-3 days, mm-hmm. and then when it comes on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, when people are sleeping.
I have 5 persons in my household. I have to cook sometimes for 3 days because you imagine trying to cook with no water. I have little pet bottles to cook with. You can imagine how depressing it is and how frustrated you are. Sometimes in my household, everybody can't bathe at the same time.
Yes.
If somebody bathed this morning, somebody got to be next time. So like, you don't get a bath twice a day all the time mm-hmm. because we have the hot water and we have to leave. This person has to get water, this person has to get, so they can bathe. And, you know, it is so frustrating. And what makes it so bad and makes it so and get me so annoyed, every month they're sending me a bill. Now, I am not sure what I am paying for because water don't come through my pipe, but I'm still paying the bill. I would like somebody to explain that to me. And when it comes, it doesn't say, well, like, even if... I can't tell you the usage of how much water that I use then. I guess I am paying for the meter, but not for the water, because I don't get a lot of water. By the time I... Before I finish for these bottles here, I believe the pipe will go off again.
Okay. And, yeah, it is know, unfortunate...
I am so frustrated.
I can figure. I can figure. I hear
it. What makes it worse? This is the coronavirus. Let me air my beef, Scott. I'm real annoyed. I am irate with the water party.
Understood.
Let me finish, please.
I'm not stopping you.
I don't know how you're feeling till the shoe squeezing your foot. I have a pregnant lady in here. And this is the coronavirus and all they're stressing. You have to wash your hands. You have to wash this. I can't get the water to wash my hands, to wash my clothes. Sometimes I wash clothes once a month. And then when I have to go to laundry, you can imagine that.
That was increased cost as well.
And let me tell you something. This hasn't been happening just now. This has been happening over 50 years because I used to live up here. I left living in St. Joseph because of that one. This one problem. And I come back. And now it's the same thing here hit me in my face. 2020, and I'm still getting the same problem. And I live in the back. All they're telling me, oh, the water pressure low, you can't get the water. Yeah, but go down to Wanstead, go down in certain parts of there, and the people getting desalinated water, though. Why can't I get desalinated water up here?
There's a desal plant up by you?
Listen, I read in the paper that it was going to put a desal plant somewhere in St. James. It was going to apply St. Thomas, St. Joseph, St. Andrew, St. Lucy. Where is it? That was maybe, if it wasn't earlier this year, that was late last year. Haven't got it. Two years ago, they put down a whole lot of pipes in Parcel, leading up to say they were going to channel the water differently so it would come through Erie Hill. Where is the water?
Okay.
People down in Mellows, out that side, haven't had water for about 3 months. You know where they're going to get the water? At the standpipe. Yet the water stopped the standpipe, though.
No, they shouldn't. In a scenario like this where a whole community is suffering,
right now,
that would not be wise at all.
Your neighbor has water. Her water has been on for the coming on this morning. I can't get on, and my barely running. Size of my half, the size of my pinky. When they do send the vac, you know how it is take all the energy out of me? I am in my 50s. I'm with my children at home. I got to fill up the 17 buckets, all those little containers, and I have to walk is about 20 seconds.
You go by yourself?
Pardon me?
You go by yourself?
Wait. If I'm here and I would try to go and get if nobody's here. But once persons are here with me, then
help
we get
you.
Them.
Yeah, because walking with water is not an easy thing.
I had the distance now from the vat, from where I live to get, because the vat has to stay on the main road.
Yes.
That's not like 20 or 25 seconds, even 30 seconds from my house there, walking fast. And I have to have shopping, you know, the shopping bags, the massive shopping bags. I have to put those, my the little jugs and things in those bags and walk with two. When I'm finished, I am dog tired.
Yes.
I am tired. Then I got to pay water authority every month. You've been in China, you know, coming the same thing all the time and I ain't getting any water. Something is wrong. I am irate. I want something done.
Yes. I'm going to thank you for sharing your concerns, and it is one of the many concerns of persons within the St. Joseph area who have repeatedly suffered from water outages at varying levels, whether it is a trickle, as you identified, or whether it is no water at all coming from the pipe. And we did hear on several occasions the personnel from the Barbados Water Authority share about their challenges and their attempts to rectify the problem. And I can only empathize with you, having not experienced a water outage for any length of time. But I know the times that I have experienced it is really an uncomfortable situation. So to have been going through it for so long, I haven't worn those shoes, and my shoes aren't that tight. But I really want that the problems that the Barbados Water Authority are experiencing are quickly rectified in short order. And in a time like this, where we have COVID-19 with germs and a virus that has such mammoth impacts, I would hope that it is rectified soon. You did mention that there's someone in your neighborhood or probably in your household who's also pregnant, who we would definitely want not to have any challenges as it relates to any form of virus or germs infecting their unborn child. So I hope that your situation is quickly rectified. Dr. Brownstaff.